Well, good morning, folks, here in the chapel at Church in the Marketplace. You can talk to me later if you spotted the spelling mistake that was in the clip that we just saw. But g'day, if you're joining us from our website or on iTunes this morning, we're glad that you're with us. And we pray that God will be close to you as we open God's Word and as we share together this morning. This morning we're starting a new series that's called Faith That Shapes. At the beginning of a new year, we want to explore what kind of faith makes a difference in our lives. What kind of faith do we need so that we're not making the same New Year's resolutions that we made last year? What kind of faith plugs into God's power, not our own power and strength, like we said on Christmas Day? What kind of faith do we need to build the ministry and mission of Church in the Marketplace in 2014? What kind of faith so that we can just say yes to God? That'll be the second series in 2014 leading up to our church camp. Just say yes. What is the kind of faith that shakes us, that actually turns our life upside down? I want to start this morning with one of the most basic truths of Christian faith, that God has a purpose for our lives. God has a purpose for your life, and God has a purpose for my life. We talk about that quite often here at Church in the Marketplace. We are not here by chance. We are not an accident of nature. You didn't just happen. Regardless of the circumstances of our birth, God has a purpose for you and God has a purpose for me. Scripture, the Bible says that even before we were born, God purposed what he wanted to do with our lives. God purposed for us to do certain things. They're called good works. Ephesians 2:10 says, God has made us what we are, and God has made us to do good works, which he planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. Those good works come out of God's character. We say God is good. The Bible's word for that is ministry. Ministry isn't just something that ministers and pastors do. Ministry is something that we all do. Anytime we use our talents, anytime we use our abilities, our background, even the pains and hurts that we've experienced in life to help other people, we are ministering. So to help us understand faith, to get to the bottom of a faith that shakes, we're going to look at how God uses people over the next few weeks. I think that's a great way to begin a new year, even before we make some of our 2014 New Year's resolutions. Because one of the most important things that we can do with our lives, the key to significance in our lives, the key to satisfaction in our lives, the key to meaning in our lives, is to let God use us. And maybe that could be a powerful resolution for you in 2014. For those of us who are looking to live every day in an authentic and meaningful relationship with God, there is no greater thrill than to be used by God. There's no feeling, no achievement, no award that can compare to knowing that God is using us and we're doing what God wants to do with our lives. The problem is, this isn't news to most of us. We know that God has a purpose for our lives. We know that God wants us to be involved in ministry. But often, even though we know God wants to use us, we have a problem with confidence. We lack the confidence that God could really use us. So today we're going to look at building that confidence, and we're going to learn some lessons from the life of Joshua, the little story that Jill just read for us. And as we prepare to do that, let's pray. Folks, come in and grab a seat. Lord God, it's true. Often we lack confidence to really believe that you want to do something with our lives, that you have a purpose for us. And so we spend so much of our time seeking to find meaning for our own lives. And you tell us you purpose us to do good works, and that as we live out faith in you in an authentic and real way, you will guide the ways that we find to do those things you call us to do. So as we come to this story of Joshua, we pray that you will help us to be more confident in who you are and more confident that you have a purpose for us to live out our lives each day in Jesus' name. Amen. I love Joshua. Joshua is one of my Bible favourites. General Douglas MacArthur once said, Joshua was one of the greatest leaders that ever lived. He faced incredible odds. His life was one battle after another, but he never gave up. Joshua was a great leader, but Joshua had a problem. He lacked confidence. In Joshua chapter 1, God gives Joshua a pep talk. Four times in this chapter, God says, be confident and don't be discouraged. Be determined and confident. He says it four times, and he gives Joshua four keys to developing that confidence. Before we go there, why was it, you think, that Joshua lacked confidence? I imagine there are some reasons that we will never know, but it seems to me that we can imagine two reasons he lacked confidence, and they're pretty obvious. The first one is he followed Moses. That's enough. Act 2 of Moses. In the book right before Joshua in Deuteronomy, the last verses say, for no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did. And now here's Joshua, the follow-up act. He's following in the shadow of Moses, so he lacked a little confidence. I think I would too. But the other reason was the assignment that God gave him. God says, Josh, now Moses is dead. I want you to go and take the promised land, which, by the way, is filled with seven enemy nations, all of them stronger and bigger than you. And you are to go in there with this ragtag group of people who have been slaves for 400 years and for the last 40 years have been wandering around in the desert because they were afraid. There you are, Josh. Go for it. Josh had quite an assignment put in front of him. But in this passage, God gives him four things to build up his confidence, and I think those four things help our confidence too. What do we do when we know what God wants us to do with our lives, but we just don't have the courage and the confidence for it? Four things that God told Joshua. First one is let go of doubt. Doubt is the single greatest enemy of confidence. It limits our potential. It causes procrastination. It will cause us to miss God's best. James 1 verse 6 says, anybody who doubts is like a wave in the sea blown up and down by the wind. Folks, we get pushed around in our lives. We know that. Often instead of controlling circumstances, circumstances seem to control us. We get blown around in life when we're filled with doubt about what God wants to do with our lives. In verse 9 in Joshua it says, be bold and strong, banish fear and doubt. For remember, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The first thing God says to Joshua is get rid of the doubt stuff. Banish it. Banish fear and doubt. Banish kind of means dump it, throw it out the window, get it out of sight. Don't deal with it anymore. Get rid of it. It's like he's saying doubts are a choice. And we don't have to doubt in our lives. They're a choice. We can instead doubt our doubts. Mostly what happens is we believe our doubts and we doubt our beliefs. Let me say that again. We believe our doubts and we doubt our beliefs. Why don't we believe our beliefs and doubt our doubts? Doesn't that make more sense? When we say, God could never use me, who told us that? Our doubts did. Then doubt our doubts. Believe what the Bible says, that God wants to use you, that even before you were born, you were part of God's purpose, and God is going to use you for ministry to make the world a better place. Many of us sit here week after week and say, I know God uses people, but God could never use me. And we're wrong. What causes those kind of doubts? Two things, I think, rob us of confidence. One is comparing myself to others. That always causes doubt. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says that people who compare themselves to other people are foolish. Why? We should never compare ourselves to anybody else because we are unique. God made you to be you. God doesn't want you to be somebody else. If God wanted you to be somebody else, he would have made you somebody else. Many people start off their lives as an original and end up as carbon copies and poor carbon copies of someone else. God says, don't compare yourself. Why would God say that? Two reasons, I think. One is we'll always find somebody who is doing a better job than us and we get discouraged. And two, we'll always find somebody we're doing a better job than and we get filled with pride. Either way, God says, don't do it. Don't compare yourself. You are unique, so you are incomparable. The second reason we shouldn't compare ourselves to others is because of past failures. We say, if God could use other people, it's because they didn't go all through all the things that I've had to go through. We look around and we see other people have more talent and we look at ourselves and say, if people knew my background, they'd laugh at me being in ministry. So we say, the things in my past, God could never use me. Folks, have you ever read the Bible? The spiritual leaders of the Bible didn't exactly have a stellar record. Moses was a murderer. David was not only an adulterer, he was an adulterer and a murderer. Abraham gave his wife away twice. Jacob stole the family inheritance from his brother. Paul was a religious terrorist. Peter was a hard-driving, hard-drinking, hard-living fisherman. A salty sea dog. He probably swore like one too. He had a temper. God uses people with checkered pasts. We've all got skeletons, every one of us in our closet. Nobody's perfect, and the Bible says that to us clearly. All have sinned. Me, I have. You have. So God uses ordinary people. If God only used perfect people, what would get done in the world? Nothing. Be glad God uses ordinary people like you and me. The point is, it doesn't matter where you've been. What matters is what direction your feet are headed right now. Second thing God tells Joshua is to look for a promise of God. There are over 7,000 promises in Scripture. 7,000. And promise is a key theme in the book of Joshua. At the very beginning of his life, in the very first chapter, God made a promise. And at the end of the book, Joshua comments on those promises. So in Joshua 1 verse 3 it says, I promised Moses that I would give you, Joshua, this land, so I will give you every place you go in the land. Now, God can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. If God says something, it will happen. Some people say, you know that saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No. God said it, that settles it. Doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. God can't lie. God said, Joshua, I know there are 7 enemy countries in this land you're going to take over, and I know they're all bigger and stronger, but I am promising you, you are going to possess the promised land. Remember, it's the promised land. Look for a promise. And at the end of the book, Joshua, right before he dies of old age, says, Joshua chapter 23, now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. I'm getting old and I'm going to die. You know that not one of all the good promises God gave us has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. That's what I call bookends to a successful life. At the beginning of his ministry, he gets a promise and he says, God, I don't feel adequate. I don't feel prepared. I don't feel up to this task. It seems overwhelming. The odds are against me. Look at my past. Look at who the leader before was. Look at who I am. And God says, none of that matters. I have a promise for you. Now, friends, I want you to know that it's legitimate to ask the question, what exactly does God promise to those who serve him? If I say, God, I want to spend the rest of my life doing what you want me to do, in fact, doing what you made me to do, what can I count on you for? And there are promises in Scripture. Here are three that are just in this part of the book of Joshua. The first one is strength. God says, nobody is going to be able to stand against you. Whatever I call you to do, I'm going to give you the power to do it. Where God guides, God provides, somebody said. Or success. God wants us to succeed in the life that he's given us, not at the things that we might want sometimes to succeed at. He hasn't promised to make everybody a millionaire. That is not in Scripture somewhere. But God wants us to succeed in life, and we will if we're in line with God's purpose. It's inevitable. We can expect it. Twice in this chapter, he says, I promise you'll succeed. Verse 7 and 8, you will be successful if you do what I want you to do. If we want success, we get on God's track. If we want to live frustrated all our lives, go our own way, do our own thing, plan our own lives, and watch the frustration mount. Third thing here in this part of Joshua in verse 9 is support. I will be with you wherever you go. God's work done God's way will not lack God's support. God's going to support us in what we do. We're not just going to fumble around. And then in Joshua 1 verse 8 it says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. It's God's promise of success. He says, get the word of God in our mouth, in our mind, and in our lives. In our mouth, talk about the word of God. In our mind, meditate, think about the word of God. Isn't it interesting? If we know how to worry, then we also know how to meditate. You ever thought about that? Worry, we take a negative thing and we go over it and we go over it and we go over it. And it gets bigger each time. Meditate is to take something from Scripture and go over it and over it and over it. If we were to spend all the time we do worrying, meditating, maybe we'd have nothing to worry about. So Joshua says, get the word of God in our mouth, talk about it, get it in our mind, meditate on it, get it in our lives, live out the word of God. There's absolutely no correlation here between our abilities and success. This verse says our success is based on our commitment to the Word of God. If we're committed to the Word of God, God says, I don't care what abilities you've got, I'll use them, you'll succeed at what I purpose for you to do. The third thing God tells Joshua is to lean on God. It doesn't just mean believe on the Lord, it means depend totally, completely, exclusively. When we lean on something, we're more than believing in it. We're expecting it to hold us up. And so we lean on God. Joshua 1 verse 5 says, no one will be able to defeat you all your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forget you. He's saying, I'm going to be with you the whole time. You can lean on me. And if we study Joshua's life, we find that as long as he leaned, as long as he leant on the Lord, he was undefeatable. God says, I will be with you. I may feel unprepared, but I'm going to lean on God to do this. I don't think I can do this in my own power. God will give us his power to do what he calls us to do. Whether it's to be a scripture teacher, whether it's to be a lay pastor, whether it's to volunteer in one capacity or another, God will give us the power and the strength to do it. So here's a question. What are you and I leaning on God for? Or what are we leaning on? You see, sometimes we're leaning on other people. They may be Christians, they may be godly people, but other people will let us down. Inevitably, even the finest Christian will let us down because nobody's perfect. If we put all our leaning on another person, a husband, a wife, a parent, who's got any guarantee they're even going to be around for any length of time? We need something that can't be taken away from us, so we need to learn to lean on God. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. He says, I will guarantee you that we'll go the right way. Lean on me. People sometimes say, if you're leaning on God, then God is your crutch. Ever heard people say that? I've had a guy at a party with a girl he's picked up for the evening and a cigarette in one hand and a beer in the other tell me God is my crutch. God isn't my crutch. God's my pacemaker, baby. He keeps my heart going when I want to give up, when I think I can't go another day, when I think that ministry is too hard, when I think God's asked me to do something I can't do. He keeps my heart going. Maybe he's my pacemaker, but I don't know about a crutch. The fourth key to gaining the confidence to do what God wants us to do, God tells Joshua, is to launch out in faith. There comes a point of time when we have to make a critical decision to go for it. We have to just say yes. Joshua had to do it. He had to lay it all on the line and take the plunge, literally. For the children of Israel to go into the promised land, you might remember the story, first a million or so of them had to cross the Jordan River. We don't think that was a big deal these days, but there weren't bridges back then. They didn't have the army there ready to build a pontoon bridge for them. The Jordan River is usually about 100 feet wide. It's about 20 feet deep. But in the springtime, when they happen to be there, it often floods, so it becomes a rushing, raging river. In Joshua, God says, I'm going to do a miracle. Remember, 40 years ago, I opened up the Red Sea. I'm going to do something like that again, only this time, it's going to be a little different. At the Red Sea, I opened it up, and then you walked through it. This time I want you to start walking before I open it up. So the spiritual leaders go first in the story of Joshua. They walk out to their ankles and nothing happens. The Bible tells us in Joshua 3 what God did is he dammed the river 17 miles upstream. We know that happened naturally in 1928. The banks caved in and for a while the Jordan River actually stopped flowing. But 17 miles of water had to go through first before the river went down. So they stepped in up to their ankles. Nothing happened. They stepped in up to their knees. They stepped in up to their hips. They stepped in up to their chest, maybe. But God's timing always seems to work. The waters finally receded. They were able to walk across the Jordan River and capture the promised land. What's the point? Well, maybe the point is the first step is always the hardest. Getting involved in ministry, finding a place to serve, that's always the hardest part. We start saying, everybody else is more talented. Look at my past. We've got our excuses and our moods. I don't feel like it. I'm too busy. If we are too busy for ministry, then we're too busy. Something needs to be cut out. Because if we're not doing what we're made to do, what are we doing? One day we're going to stand before God and he's going to say, what did you do with those talents and abilities I gave? And then our doubts are going to seem pretty awful. Friends, we've got to take a risk. We've got to step out in faith. Then Joshua gave instructions to the leaders to tell them to get ready to cross the river. What do we do when we know what we ought to do, we know what's right, and we're afraid to do it? Part of the answer is we do it anyway. We just say yes. What do we do when we know God wants us to do something and we don't have the faith to do it? We do it anyway. We just say yes. We step out, believe the faith that we've been promised will be provided. We move against our fears. We do those things that sometimes we fear the most. The situation that we think is going to swallow us up and there's no way we can do it. No time, no money, whatever. Faith, you see, is a verb. It's not passive. It's something we do. It's facing our fears. Somebody said, remember the turtle. He only makes progress when he sticks his neck out. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. So what's our excuse for not signing up for ministry in 2014? There's never a better time to start doing now what God meant for us to do. So one of our themes in 2014 will be just say yes. So as you and I begin a new year, what a great time to think about it and then act. Early in 2014 and all through the year, we're going to be providing opportunities for every one of us to be involved in the ministries of Church in the Marketplace. We'll be providing opportunities for every one of us to live a faith that shakes us. We'll be providing opportunities for everyone to just say yes. So let me just finish with two questions very quickly. What are you doubting that God can do in your life? Where are you saying God could never use me? Because you're wrong. Doubt will keep us from having God's best in our lives. We will miss the very thing we were created for if we allow our doubts to dominate us. So this morning, what are you doubting? And the second question is, what should we stop praying about? I should finish that sentence. What should we stop praying about and start doing? You see, some people, Christians, often use prayer as an excuse to procrastinate. I'm just praying about giving more. Just do it. I'm just praying about getting into a small group. Just do it. I'm just praying about getting involved in a ministry. Folks, just do it. Just say yes. We were made for ministry. We were created for a purpose. Now is the time to give something back. We don't have to start big, but we can start with hope and we can just say yes. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we want to say thank you. Thank you that you use us in spite of our weaknesses and in spite of our faults and in spite of our checkered pasts and in spite of our inadequacies. Thank you that you use ordinary people, people just like us. So whatever you ask us to do, help us to do it because of your promise to be with us and your promise to help us succeed in it. Thank you. Lord, we give to you the things that we doubt and pray that you would strengthen our beliefs. We give to you the things that lie in front of us in 2014. And ask that you would equip us, you would help us to step out in faith, that you would help us to say yes, so you can use us in the way that you have created us to be, and you can use us in the way that you have purposed for us. And we pray that as individuals and together as church in the marketplace, you would help us to do good works, because that's what you've purposed for us in Christ's name. Amen.